Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Faith-Focused Discipleship Podcast. My name is Kevin Rognes, and I'm the Discipleship Director here at Faith Covenant. I just want to remind you to hit the subscribe button and make sure you leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. That way you don't miss out any of our episodes that we put out every other week, and it also helps us to know how we're doing. So if there's any subjects that you would like us to cover, or if there's a story of what God has done in your life that you'd like to share, please let me know. My information, my email address is listed in the episode show notes, so please check that out and let me know if you need anything. So today I want to be talking about the Book of Psalms. It's a portion of the Bible that is filled with poetry about the relationship with God that Israel has. It's a really incredible part of the Bible, but it's not always the most easily understood part of the Bible. Sometimes we're lacking in context about what individual psalms are, and sometimes it's just kind of a question of, what does this have to do with me? How does this fit into the larger picture of Scripture? So there is so much that we could do in going into the Psalms, and I think I'm going to spend a few episodes doing that. And also, if you're attending Faith Covenant, we are having a class that goes deeper into Psalms this winter and spring. That class is at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings before our worship gatherings. So if you'd like to get into this more, we would love to have you. Again, that's 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. So today, I just want to go through some of the background information about the Book of Psalms, because even that helps us really understand a lot more and helps us to read Psalms more fully. So I'm just going to dive in and give some background information. So the Psalms were written, by various people in the Israelite nation. We don't always know who wrote them, and we'll get into that in a moment, but it wasn't an uncommon form of literature in the ancient Near East. Other cultures in the same area at the same time had similar forms of poetry that kind of praised their various deities and would be used in similar ways to the ways that the Israelites used the Book of Psalms. So you might see similar structures and similar kinds of ideas if you were to look at other texts from other cultures in the area. Now, that's not to say that they were more important or better than the Psalms, or that the Psalms was copying them in some way. It just helps us understand that the Psalms were often looking at the forms that were common to its day. And that's much the true for us. When we are composing new worship music today, we're often looking at various forms in culture to use those forms to express God's truth. So the Psalms has a lot of variety to them, and there's also an internal organization that we'll talk a little bit about at the end. Sometimes it may feel like individual psalms, like maybe say Psalm 34, may not feel like it has a lot of very specific context that helps us understand what's going on with it. The way that Psalms are organized gives us a little bit better of an idea of some of the specific context that might be informing the Psalms, but overall, we don't necessarily know the individual circumstances that inspires each one. Sometimes they have some clues, not always the case. So that's really important for us to know as we go into this. We don't always have definitive answers about what individual psalms are about. So the English word psalms comes from the Greek word that is used in the Septuagint. The Septuagint is basically the Greek translation, the original Greek translation of the original Hebrew text. So in Greek, that word was psalmos, and that eventually kind of became the English word for psalms. Now, the word that the Greek psalmos was translating was a Hebrew word, mizmor. And that's a Hebrew word that is related to like singing or plucking like a stringed instrument in the same way that you might pluck a banjo or a guitar. And so just in the very word that is used in Hebrew to kind of name the book and the collection of poetry, it already tells us that this is essentially a musical body of literature. From that, we understand that Most of these psalms, at probably at some point, were sung by the Israelite community. So this is not just poetry, it is also lyrics to music. And certainly today we have a lot of songs that are set to the lyrics of psalms. So that's just really interesting to make note of. Now, we don't know what the original melodies were. That's kind of lost to time, of course. But it's good for us to know that these were sung and probably sung in community in ancient Israel. So going back to some information about the historic background and why we don't always know a lot, it's the historic background for the Psalms is kind of tricky for a couple of reasons. One, it's a collection of individual writings. There's 150 Psalms. They're each its own composition. They were probably put together as the Psalms much later after they were written. So, as a result, we don't really necessarily know a lot about the original context of each individual psalm. Sometimes there are internal clues inside of each psalm that give us a little bit of idea of what was going on with it, but overall, it's not a singular body of work. It's kind of a compilation or anthology of poetry that the Israelites used in worship. Also, a lot of the Psalms are historically nonspecific. So we know that David had a lot of varying encounters with Philistine armies or difficulties with King Saul, and those are very well documented in other books like 1 and 2 Samuel or Chronicles, but the Psalms themselves don't often give us specific details about what's happening. The Psalms rarely say, "I, David, am fighting this Philistine army at this location at this time." That's just not how the Psalms work. Part of that, I think, is because it was inspired that way by God so that it could be more applicable to a greater variety of circumstances. I'm often very shocked at how often I feel like the Psalms are relating to my own life, even though I am in very different circumstances than what King David was facing during his life. A lot of Psalms also have titles, and we'll spend a moment with that shortly here. And some of these titles of the Psalms date back as early as Moses. So it seems that Moses was a writer of one or two of the Psalms. So that means they were way, way, way back in history. And then some of the later Psalms that were written later date to the time, theoretically, of the exile when Israel was kicked out of their homeland, out of the land of Israel, and brought into exile in Babylon. That means that from the beginning of the first psalm, or from the writing of the first psalm to the writing of some of the later psalms, that's about 1,000 years of history. That is a lot of time to cover, and that's part of why it's a little bit trickier to know exactly what each psalm is talking about, because it's such a wide range of time that's being looked at. Now, scholars kind of go back and forth on the authorship of some of the Psalms and the date of some of the Psalms, so we can't necessarily like really plant our flag on a specific day or time that these are written in. The intent of individual Psalms is often separate from the historic context. So even though a psalm writer might be talking about a very specific circumstance, it's maybe written generally, like I said earlier, to apply to a wider range of people. So even though the individual psalmist was, you know, experiencing a very specific moment in their own lives, the intent of the individual psalm is more to lead the people in worship of God. That's what helps it be a worship guide for many people across generations, across centuries, and across millenniums, really. And so another thing to know is that in Hebrew poetry, there is rarely rhyme in the way that we understand rhyme today as modern audiences. There's a lot of repetition, though, and that is a Hebrew poetic device that helps us understand what is most important in the psalm. So some psalms, say, have common refrains like, "Praise the Lord for this reason, praise the Lord for that reason, praise the Lord, praise the Lord." That's our clue to understand that, oh, it's really important that we get this idea of praising the Lord. We also have to understand that when Psalms was written, the culture was mostly not a literate culture. It was an oral culture, meaning that these things were shared verbally for the most part. People didn't really have the opportunity to learn how to read and write, and so they learned the Psalms by hearing them over and over and over again. So something that's repetitive, we know from when we listen to music, is easier to remember and understand because it gets stuck in your head because of that repetition. So if you're seeing repetition in Psalms and thinking, oh, this feels like it's just saying the same thing over and over, there's good reason for that. It's telling us what to pay attention to, and it's also helping the original audiences that were illiterate for the most part to better remember what's being said in these Psalms. So now I want to go back to talk about the titles of the Psalms. So if you have a Bible near you, or if you want to go online and just go to any Psalm, you may notice that most of the Psalms have a title. This title will often say who the writer is, if that's known, and it'll give a little maybe topic sentence about it. So sometimes the title includes the theoretical author, maybe a little bit of historic background, maybe who it's for. It sometimes has references to a specific melody that they would have used, which we don't know what those melodies are today, but it's at least recorded. And it might also say something about how it is to be used in worship. So, for example, some psalms may say something like, for the choir director to this tune. And that tune would have been a memorable one to the people who were maybe originally hearing that or reading that. So, like I said, sometimes the title of the psalm includes the author. So there's about 73 psalms that are attributed to David. So that means either that David, King David, wrote the psalm, or someone else wrote the psalm in the style of David, as if they were in David's shoes and reacting to the experiences that were happening. We don't know what the case is, but there's 73 that are attributed to David. Then there's 11 psalms that are attributed to the sons of Korah. And the sons of Korah were a group of individuals. Their father was Korah. And those individuals served in the temple to help lead the Israelite people in worship. And together, we don't know how many sons of Korah there were, but together those sons wrote 11 psalms. 12 are attributed to Asaph, who at one point, we don't exactly know when, was in charge of service in the house of the Lord. So he was kind of in charge of leading the Israelites in the temple. And so he wrote 12 of the psalms. 2 psalms are attributed to Solomon, and Solomon, of course, was King David's son, and King Solomon reigned for many years as well in Israel, and again, he wrote 2 psalms. He's also known, of course, for writing many of the Proverbs, and possibly for also writing the book of Ecclesiastes. We're not sure if he did, but that's one of the traditional beliefs. There's one psalm that is attributed to Moses, so one psalm goes way back in Israel's history, and then the rest of the psalms are unattributed. They're anonymous. We don't really know who wrote them, but they are recorded. So when it comes to the titles of the psalms themselves, there's a lot of scholarly debate about them, and we're not going to solve that debate today. One of the biggest questions is, were these originally a part of the original Psalms, or was this a title given to these poems much later? Scholars don't know. There's a lot of theories. It doesn't necessarily matter for us to understand that. It is important to understand that sometimes people base their sermons about Psalms on the Psalm titles. So if you're looking at, for example, Psalm 51, the title of that psalm, depending on the translation, essentially says that this psalm was written about King David or by King David after he was confronted by the prophet Nathan after David had an affair with Bathsheba. So if that title is correctly describing the circumstances about the psalm, that would make us read that psalm very differently than if that title didn't exist. And so many people take that psalm as an opportunity to confessing about adultery. which it's good to confess sin, but it's read very differently if that's not an original title. And again, we don't know. Scholars don't know. Some scholars think that the titles are original to the Psalms. So in essence, they think that the person who wrote the Psalm also wrote the title, and they were together from the start. Others say one person wrote the psalm, and then years later, someone said, we need to name this psalm, and so they slapped a name on it in some way later. There's debate that goes back and forth on that and how important those titles are. However, it doesn't really have a whole lot of bearing on how we understand the psalms and what they mean. So scholars disagree, but generally they about those issues and what the titles, how important they are. But scholars generally agree that the titles don't matter much for how we interpret them. So that's important to know. There is some evidence that the titles were added later. So our earliest manuscript, or there's no manuscript. So some of the earliest manuscripts that we have in the original Hebrew do not include all the titles. So there, in some manuscripts, there were psalms that were written, but without a title. So that helps us to think that maybe some of these titles were added later. We also see examples where the titles are written in the third person, so saying, this is about so-and-so, when the psalm itself is written in the first person, where it's saying, I feel this way, I do this, I do that. So that's a clue that maybe it was added later. And some titles of psalms just aren't accurate. The title will be about something, and then the psalm is completely about something else. So that's another clue that maybe these titles were added later. Some of the titles, like I said, speak to the authorship, but if they were added later, then they may not be accurate. Now, like I said, 73 psalms are attributed to David, but some of these seem to maybe be inaccurately attributed to David. That's because sometimes the Psalms themselves refer to languages that were not yet fully developed during David's time. So that's a clue that maybe that Psalm was written later and then for some reason attributed to David. That attribution to David may just mean that somebody said, oh, I'm going to write this as if I were King David and kind of have his perspective in mind as I write about circumstances that are much later. So it's unlikely that all of the Psalms attributed to David are actually written from him. And again, some of them are maybe just about him or written from what some people are imagining his perspective is. Now, if these things are true, that David didn't write them, that doesn't mean that it's not inspired scripture from God. It simply means that somewhere along the way, someone wasn't sure who wrote it and just mistakenly said, I think David wrote it. So the titles themselves are not generally regarded as biblical canon, but they are likely reliable, and they're part of a probably reliable tradition. But again, as I've said earlier, it's not necessarily something that influences how we interpret and understand that psalm. So that's a whole lot of background about the titles themselves, but it's important to understand because as you're reading Psalms, you might see those titles and go, oh, is that important to know and to understand? So that's why I share all of that information, which was quite a lot. And then I want to go into a little bit more information about the social setting, and I've already talked about a little bit of this, but we don't always know a lot about the original circumstances, but we can know a little bit about them based on how it was used. So sometimes the psalm itself tells us some of how it was used. There's a few psalms that mention pilgrimages, and those pilgrimages are a clue to say, oh, this is something that would have been written after the temple was created. That would mean it was sometime after David was king, because the temple was not yet built during the time of David, but before the temple was destroyed. So some of those things give us some clues within the psalm itself as to when it was written. Psalms is often known as kind of a hymn book or the song book of the Israelite people. And it also, it's also important for us to understand that the historic books of the Old Testament often give us a little bit more understanding of the use of psalms. So Hannah's song in 1 Samuel is very similar to Psalm 113. So that means that Psalm 113 might have already been written by the time that Hannah was around and doing her thing. Or it might be the other way. It may be that Psalm 113 was based off of Hannah's song. So there's often kind of interplays between other Old Testament texts. Another example is Jonah's song in Jonah 2. In the book of Jonah, when he is being brought to Nineveh to go prophesy there, he sings a song, and it's a series of quotations from the book of Songs. That means that at the time of Jonah in exile, he already had some knowledge of some of the Psalms and was kind of putting that together to create his own song. So that helps us kind of understand that different texts in the Old Testament were sometimes interacting with the Psalms, which is really interesting to see play out. That then gives us some clues that, okay, if Jonah was quoting these particular Psalms, that means those Psalms had to have been written before Jonah, and so on. Another thing is that there are a lot of genres of Psalms that are kind of very different from each other, but sometimes the genres also overlap within individual Psalms. So there's some Psalms that are a hymn. A hymn is also another way of saying that it's an expression of praise. So praise to the Lord, giving thanks to God, those kinds of things. There's also a genre called lament, which are expressions of trouble and turning to God. A really great example of that is Psalm 22, which is what Jesus quoted on the cross. And it starts by saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's a very deep expression of trouble, desperation, depression. Those are the Psalms of lament. There's also Psalms of thanksgiving, which often has a lot of overlap with the hymns or the Psalms of praise, because it's simply giving thanks to God for things that he has done. There are Psalms of confidence and saying, I am confident in the Lord. I know that God is with me. I know that God hears my prayer. There are Psalms of remembrance, remembering the things that God has done. There are many Psalms that kind of trace the narratives of creation and of God's history towards Israelite people. So many of the Psalms are kind of an act of remembrance and remembering who God is and how this people came to be created. There's Psalms of wisdom that just share advice and good ideas. And there's also Psalms of kingship, of talking about, sometimes it's about King David or just having a king on the Israelite throne. And oftentimes it's kingship in reference to a messianic king. In other words, a foreshadowing of the kingship of Jesus. So that's a little bit of information about the genre. And last, I want to talk a little bit about the internal structure of Psalms. So at some point, somebody took these 150 poems and gave them an organization and gave them a little bit of order. They didn't just start off written as one singular body of poetry. They were compiled over time and then organized. So in Psalms, you may notice in your Bibles that at the beginnings of certain points, there are there's maybe a little inscription that says Book 1, Book 2, 3, 4, and 5. So there's those five books within the Book of Psalms. So Book 1 comprises of Psalms 141, 1 through 41, and Book 2 is Psalms 42 through 72. Now these two Psalms are essentially focused on the time of David's kingship and David's reign over Israel. There's a lot of Psalms of lament. A lot of these Psalms seem to maybe be about the times where David was facing various hardships, being chased by enemies, being chased by other armies, those kinds of things. He's often in deep trouble. And so a lot of those Psalms in Books 1 and 2 are about that. Some of those Psalms are also about an anticipation of a messianic king. We know that today as Jesus. At the time, they did not know who that was going to be. Book 3 is kind of a turning point. Book 3 is Psalms 73 through 89, and it's a very bleak book. There's a lot of lament in those psalms. It's kind of depressing. Psalm 88 in particular is one that's, it doesn't really have a turn towards hope. The writer keeps asking God for help and is faithful in crying out to God, but it's very bleak. So Book 3, Psalm 73 through 89, is about the time of when Israel was destroyed and taken out, put into exile by the Babylonians. And then Book 4 is Psalms 90 through 106, and Book 5 is 107 through 150. And Books 4 and 5 have a lot of psalms about being in exile. They're looking forward to a messianic kingdom that Jesus will usher in. But it's a very different looking forward than it is in Book 2, or Books 1 and 2. So, that is a lot of information. So thanks for sticking with this. If you have questions about the Psalms, I would love to speak to you more about them. And I'd love for you to come to our class about the Book of Psalms. We're going to be spending 16 weeks total going through the Book of Psalms up until the very end of April. So again, that'll be Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., and we would love to have you there. If you have more questions or want to share resources about the Psalms, I'm very eager to have those from you, so please let me know, and I would love to dig into that more with you. Thank you so much for watching or for listening. I hope you have a blessed and wonderful day.